Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schankelberg.
And this is Carl Carlson.
Hey, Carl. And it's good to hear you. And that's a precursor to today's topic of listening. And we were chatting earlier, and one of the things that caught me is like, why do reliability engineers need to be able to listen and understand other people well? And I thought, oh, geez, isn't that obvious? And I thought, wait a second, we got to hit record.
Yes.
But I'm going to back up a little bit. I think part of our motivation for talking about this, among many, many reasons, is that the Harvard Business Review article, and I'm trying to, I printed it out, but it didn't bring the date. There it is. Of August of 25, was titled Soft Skills Matter Now More Than Ever, According to New Research. And so without getting into all the details and stuff, it just reinforces that we still work with other people. And as you and I have talked about for decades now, it seems like, is that our ability to influence others is what makes us successful. You know, we're usually not in veto power. We're not the final decision maker, whether a product's good or not. We have to be able to influence designers and manufacturers and suppliers and so on. And as we started sorting out, well, how are we going to bring across these skills that are not dealing with the reliability statistics, for example, and stuff like that? And I think we called it soft skills. One of my students this summer says, no, we don't call it soft skills. We call it leadership skills. And I kind of like that better.
Okay.
But the number one thing that both of us talked about was that as a reliability engineer, you have to be able to listen and listen well. And I thought, I don't remember our early discussions on this, yet it was pretty obvious right away that listening was up front. And I don't think that was misplaced at all. You know, do you have it? I mean, what do you think? Let me hear what your thoughts are on it.
And of course, just the context, as you mentioned, Fred, is that influencing people requires a set of leadership or communication type skills, and listening is one of them. So let me just give you some thoughts off the top of my head on why. And the why is because no one person has all the answers. So it's really arrogant or outsized ego to think as a reliability engineer, you know what the design needs to be, or you know what needs to be done. It just doesn't work that way in the real world, because there's a lot of very smart people that are in engineering teams, and not one of them, no one person, is going to have all the answers for what needs to go into the engineering of a product. And therefore, so that's the first part of it off the top of my head, is that it'd be wrong to think that you can just walk into a team and just start telling them what to do. It offends people, for one thing. It's also wrong because you don't necessarily have the answers. And the other part of it is, I think of Stephen Covey, seek first to understand before being understood. As his number one habit for successful people. Well, why is that? Because you have to tailor your message. You have an audience, whether it's an audience of one, or it's an audience of an engineering team, or it's a meeting, it's an audience. And you need to tailor your message to the audience. You need to connect with people. And you can't do that unless you listen to them and understand what their point of view is, where they're coming from. You'll also learn something in addition to honing your message. So it's a really good skill. So I think we both agree on the need for the skill, but then how does one go about it?
Yeah. And I was going to say is, let's define that a little bit. I think what it's not is you're just waiting until they take a breath or pause so you could make your argument. That's not listening. You're right. Pretty much ignoring them as you're preparing your debate attack for your next salvo or whatever they want to call it. That's not listening. Listening is, and it's sometimes called active listening, is asking open-ended questions, asking for clarification, not trying to outdo their story with a better story on your background. It's not a competition. Listening is trying, and you said it a couple of times, is understanding. And it's a deep understanding. What is this person trying to tell me? Am I hearing it correctly? So quick summaries back. If I'm hearing this right, this is the issue. What's behind that? It's asking questions for more depth of understanding, things like that. So active listening is not just sitting there looking at somebody and paying attention. It's actively encouraging the other person to be very clear so that you fully understand what they're trying to say. Not in an annoying, pedantic kind of way, yet it's one of those where if you have somebody that really listens to you, you walk away going, wow, I really liked our conversation. And yet they didn't say much at all except ask you clarifying questions or summarize what you were saying. They didn't bring in other facts and figures and outside stuff, except rarely. And yet you walk away from the conversation, I really like talking to Carl. He's a good guy to talk to. It's kind of, and part of active listening, and I think you're exactly right, it's keyed on that you need to learn. And in reliability engineering, if we don't know what's on the mind of that program manager and what's most important to that person, if she is really concerned about the expected lifetime of this new module from a new vendor, and we don't pause to listen to them, to her, to say, oh, I see what you're saying. This is an issue here. Let me look into that. We don't know what's important. And in order to influence people, you generally need to be paying attention to what's important to the people making the decisions. What information do they need? What priority are they providing, have that for that? What kind of accuracy do they need the results to be in? And you can't get that just by making it up.
You can't. I'm in the facilitator training classes that I've taught over the years. We have a listening module and we actually practice and it's really interesting to hear people try to listen to one another. what I teach and what it's in our book as well, you have to be interested in people. You have to be curious. You can't fake it. So you don't walk into a session with an engineer to collaborate. And we're suggesting a good way to start is by listening, but you don't do that from the viewpoint of disinterest, where you just have to get through that gate.
Right.
If you're generally interested in the other person, what they're saying, their point of view, and what they can share with you, it comes across and people open up and they'll tell you what the problems are they're having with the design or the issues or things that you need to know to hone the message of how you can work together in influencing the design to be more reliable.
Yeah, and we call that the mindset, is you have to be willing to deeply understand the other person. And I think that's, if you walk, like you said, if you're there just to check the box, oh, I talked to Bill and this is what we're going to do, and it has nothing to do with what Bill was talking about, then you missed the point. I need to go talk to Sarah because she's working on this piece of the project that seems to be high risk, and I need to understand more about that. Why is it a risk? And if you walk in saying, oh, I know what it is, you don't have the mindset of learning from those people. And that's, I think, the absolute key is prep yourself. You need to go learn something as opposed to I need to go tell them what to do. And you can go a long way with just understanding where they're at and then meet them where they are. If they need a test, or they need an observation, or they need some insight of how this failure mechanism manifests itself. Those are things we can actually help with. Yet, which one is important at this point?
Yes, in the listening one-on-one, it can occur in meetings. So let's just come up with a scenario. So the project you're working on is a widget. You're a reliability engineer, and down the hall is a widget design engineer. And Scott, you want to basically help that person to achieve widget reliability in the design. Mm-hmm. And so you might be working on reliability requirements, or you might be working on reliability tests, or maybe a design of experiment or something. But so you're just going to have a conversation with the person to get to learn what their widget design is and what their roadblocks are, that kind of thing. I think it takes a little bit of homework. I don't want to just walk in. I first would like to know a little bit about the widget design, whatever I can study. Might be online, might be some things that are in a certain brochure. So I get a little bit of knowledge, and then I'll kind of prepare, maybe in writing, maybe not, the kind of questions that I would need to learn about. And so a little bit of preparation, I think, helps. What do you think, Fred?
Well, I often start with, especially during the design process, is what are the requirements? You know, what are we trying to achieve? In the engineering requirements document probably has a wealth of information, and a quick review of that, and say it's for a brake pedal on a bicycle or a brake handle, right? There's a whole bunch of stuff I would be curious about. Well, have you considered the strength of the human grip, and what kind of forces required are you transmitting on this cable? What about tension strength? All these kinds of things. Yet if I go in loaded with all my questions, it prevents me from listening. And so I think there's a bit of prep to understand the language and the obstacles, or what's it supposed to do? What are we trying to achieve? Yet I don't try to over-prepare, because I end up then wanting to lead the discussion. I think everybody approaches this probably a different way.
It's a great point.
You know, so I'm thinking it's, yeah, some prep to know what you're, why we're talking and so on. Yet it's, I often would start a conversation like the way you did it is, all right, so this widget's supposed to do X, Y, and Z. What are the major hurdles, or what do you see as an area with least margin? Or is there part of this that you want to learn more about in it from a reliability or quality point of view? Mm-hmm. Kind of those open-ended questions that then go, I didn't think of that. And then reinforce them to continue and dive deeper into it. What makes you say that? Have you seen any issues, or is there a design trade-off involved? Or it's kind of those kinds of questions, as opposed to going in and saying, you know, have you checked the tension strength of that cable to see if it'll carry that force for you? It's like, they may well have done that, and it's not an issue whatsoever. Yet by going in with ideas of what to talk about, it prevents them from telling you what's important to them. And it goes back to your very first comment, is we need to understand first before we dictate.
Very good. I agree with your point about the balance. You don't want to over prepare, and you don't want to come in peppering people with questions, which makes the meeting about you rather than than listening to somebody. I've also want to explore how this could be done in a meeting. Walked into many meetings with management. Now, sometimes you just have to present, yep. And that's a different skill, and we can talk about presentation. Yep. But there are times in a meeting where you could introduce yourself and say what your role is, and ask people, what do you want from me? In other words, how can I help you achieve your goals? And listen and take notes. So there's some ways you could do this in a meeting as well, even in a presentation. And yep. We've done this, you and I.
Yeah, definitely.
Ask people questions in a large auditorium and listen to what people have to say. It's fascinating how you can bring the listening skill.
Well, there was one of them. It was, you asked a question. We're just getting started, and somebody asked the question. And you could tell the audience, I could tell you knew the audience was like, yep, that's a good question. And you just step back and says, how many others of you have a similar question like that? And it was like, everybody raised their hand. I'm like, all right, let's talk about that.
In some of my talks, I'll get to a certain point and I'm not getting enough questions from people. And I'll just say, well, what do you run into on this? What you want to achieve reliability. What are you running into out there? What would help you?
Yeah. Now, I think I've told this story a few times. It was at one of the ReliSoft conferences, and I liked that conference because he ended up with a 45-minute speaking slot or so. Mm-hmm. It's 45, 50 minutes. And just before I got introduced, somebody asked me a question about MTBF. Have you ever had people not understand what that is? And then I'm getting introduced. I'm like, oh, that's a great question. You know? And so I got up on the stage and there's 150 of our peers in the audience. And I said, you know, I just got this question. I'm wondering if any of you have run into this. How many of you have had conversations with people where they don't understand MTBF or the similar metrics? And every one of them raised their hand. And I said, so I didn't talk about anything that I had prepared to talk about. I got a whiteboard and said, so what kind of confusion things have you run into? And I just started filling out a big whiteboard with, I don't know, we had a dozen or more different variations of how people mess up understanding and using MTBF. And 45 minutes went by really fast. And it was just leading a discussion. You know, I had no preparation for this question whatsoever other than the experience I had to date. And it launched the no MTBF movement. It really did.
Yeah.
But it was just being able to listen to the audience and not shoot down people and say, well, tell me more about that. Or how did that work? You know, what kind of outcome came out of that? And then it, you know, got a bit humorous and everything else. But if you weren't listening, you would just answer your own question and then move on to something else. And you may have missed a really important opportunity to connect with your audience.
Really so important. I love the story. There's another aspect of listening that we haven't touched on, and I'm sure there's lots. One of them is, if you genuinely listen to someone and understand where they're coming from, they're more likely to support you.
Yes.
And what you need.
Yeah.
If you go in and tell them the answer or what you think is the approach without listening first, they're less likely to support you. It's just human nature.
Yeah. No, it's number one in our book for soft skills, because we have to influence other people, and you have to have people's trust before you can influence them. And listening is, in my mind, that a key element of that. Now, you got to do good work. You have to have a track record of solving problems and helping people and getting things done. Yet listening helps you focus on what's the right things to do. And I agree with you, is that it allows people to support you because they know they've been heard. And it's a key part. Now, maybe in the last couple of minutes that we got, one topic is, how do you listen when you're surprised? You know, I don't know, Carl, you usually got your act together. I'm quite sure your boss never pulled you in and says, have a seat. We need to talk about this issue. And I have not been looking forward to it, is the way my boss said it one time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how do you get in the listening mindset when you're just blindsided?
When you're blindsided, that's a great real life occurrence. Mm-hmm. And much of, for example, I went to Singapore once to teach a FMEA class, and I was all prepared to teach design FMEA. It turned out to be a bunch of maintenance people. I had to shift gear. I had to say, okay, what are you here for? What would you like to know? Mm-hmm. And of course, and then I basically dug deep into my laptop, and I just started teaching what would be useful for them in terms of an approach. And of course, that gets into RCM and that type of thing.
Right.
Fortunately, I could do that. But my first thing was go around the room and get to know people, and what are they interested in? What would they? And I added that. That was early, that was like 2005 or something. And I, since then, I always go around the room when I'm teaching, and I just get to know people. I say hi, Mary. What's your job? What would you like to learn today? Mm-hmm. What are some areas that you'd like to improve? You know, just conversation and listen to people, and then I can tailor my approach to that. So this listening thing works in every venue. I mean, imagine, and I'm sure you know this, I mean, I know it really, really well from experience, is if you want to have good relationships with people socially, in relatives, business, listening is key. And if you don't listen well, you will not have good relationships. And that skill applies to, I cannot think of a venue that it doesn't apply to. So it's really worth the effort to learn how to do it or to get better.
Or get better. And one of the things is that it's easy to do. Just relax, you know, pay attention to what they're saying, picture what they're talking about. If there is some emotion behind their voices, you know, feel that emotion. It's like, oh yeah, this is, you know, this vendor is really blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh yeah, well, we should look into that. Instead of saying, no, they're a good vendor, is sympathize. A bit of empathy goes a long way. Yeah. Yet it's, and back to this, you know, a difficult conversation that I was blindsided on. It was, they just let me know they're not comfortable. What can I do to lessen that discomfort and really understand what they're talking about? And it was, you know, you're doing it right. When we ended the meeting and she said, I really was putting this off and not wanting to tell you about this. And I was a new supervisor on a factory floor and I really didn't know what I was doing. And she said, I was dreading this because I didn't know what you would do if you get angry or this or that other thing. And you actually listened. And I says, well, otherwise I won't know what you're talking about. And I really don't know some of what you talked about, how to go do that. I figured I'd go think about it and talk to some other supervisors and see what I can do. But I tried to understand what makes this a difficult conversation. And she said, nobody does that. And I'm like, well, so I kept my job because I actually just stopped to listen, you know, and it was.
I remember one time with a engineer at, I was working with an engineer in General Motors on, I forget, I think it was hinges or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking with him and hinges were primarily made by suppliers.
Right.
And so I'm going in, I'm going to give my spiel, but I thought, no, I recently read the book by Stephen Covey on listening. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm just going to listen to this person. And when I finished listening, it didn't take that long, I learned that the biggest problem is they're not communicating the requirements to the supplier. Yeah. They're expecting the supplier to achieve a reliable product, but there weren't actual reliability requirements that are required to the supplier. And yeah. I learned that by listening to that person that I never would have known. So you get amazed. And then I've talked to people that turns out they actually need some training. They would love to get a little bit of training in reliability. Mm-hmm. Great, we can arrange that. Or they have some other problem that you can help them with. So it's just an amazing tool. And like you say, you have to relax, focus, enjoy listening to people, enjoy learning from people. You'll be amazed what you can learn from others that you hadn't thought of.
Yeah.
Right? It's a terrific skill.
And you get plenty of opportunities to practice it and then walk away from a discussion or a meeting or a presentation and go, evaluate yourself. It's, did I listen well? Did I interrupt? Did I provide solutions mm-hmm. instead of open-ended questions? It's take a look at what are the steps involved, characteristics of it, and then practice it and pause and, you know, listen. I think is the only thing you can really do. But our audience here, Carl, has been patiently listening to us for a while talk about listening. So thank you for listening. Appreciate that. And You know, we do get questions and topics and everything else. If I think you have two resources for you on this one is take a look at our book, The Process of Reliability Engineering, and chapter 11. The first real segment there is on listening. And it has a handful of tips and ideas and how to improve and characteristics, stuff like that. That's one guide for you. The other one is if you got a question about it, let us know. Practice your writing skills or questioning skills. You know, send us a question or a comment. We'd appreciate it. And you can do that over at ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. Yes. So I haven't done this in a while. ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. Yep, that's it. And trying to listen to myself at the same time now. Mm-hmm. Or you can get a hold of Carl or I and the other hosts of the show on LinkedIn or our about pages on Ascendo. So plenty of ways for you to get in touch with us, and we'll be happy to listen. Actually, you can leave a voice message at the go/SOR place so we could actually listen to you.
Very good. Nice job.
I'm trying to remember the ending. I thought about recording it at once, but it's just too much fun thinking about how to tie it into the episode.
Yes, yes it is. And it's so we really do love hearing from people, so please take advantage of that.
Yeah. Thanks, Carl. I'll talk to you later. Oh, I'll listen with you later.
Okay, listen to you later, Fred.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.